And I'd like to begin reading at verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? 1 Kings. Did I say 2nd? I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of faith choices. Faith choices. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you this morning for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit we felt in this service. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can trust you no matter what is going on in this world or in our lives. You control it all. Father, help us this morning. Help us this morning to look at you, first of all, and then secondly, to look deep inside ourselves that we might make faith choices. Because faith, when we choose faith, heaven shouts. When we choose faith, the Lord himself rejoices. And Father, today I just ask you to help us all to look at every circumstance and every situation in our life through the eye of faith and make the faith choice that we're blessed. Make the faith choice that we're healed. Make the faith choice that everything is going to be all right. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I read online this week in an article written by a gentleman in Christianity Today. He was writing pertaining to where the church would be 10 years from now. And I thought he had some very interesting insights in his article. And most of the time, sadly, much of what I read in that magazine I would personally disagree with. But this gentleman wrote, and he said, the mega churches of today were going to have to die out. He said, number one, there's simply not going to be enough money to support them. He said, number two, because there is no unity of doctrine in many of these churches, they're going to implode upon their own. And he said what he saw in the next 10 years, and he wasn't speaking prophetically, it was just insights and conjecture that he'd come up with, but again, I found it very interesting. He said what he thought was going to multiply in the next 10 years was going to be smaller churches that possibly had to meet in homes or in buildings where there would be a unity of doctrine and a true community of faith of the believers. Now that struck me. That got my attention. Because I thought, even though he did not mention the message of the cross, I could not help but think that that is exactly what I believe the Lord has been showing me. And Paul alluded to it before he sang today, is that in small congregations all over this nation, God is going to make himself known to the United States of America again. Following after the words of the prophet, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, because there is such a tendency on the part of human flesh to look to that which is large and grandiose as God being in it. And oftentimes, that is simply not the case. If you study the Word of God, you find the greatest moves and the greatest actions of God occurred when small groups of people, even individuals, came under His Word, believed Him exclusively, and acted in faith upon His Word. As I looked for an illustration to open this message, as is my custom and I like to do, concerning faith choices, I could find no better example than in the book of Exodus. And as I relate this example from the book of Exodus to you, there's a strong parallel between what we see going on in the United States of America right now and the church in America, I believe, in this story. Right now, we're faced with the greatest economic crisis in the United States of America we've seen since the 1920s. And the news gets perpetually worse by the day, it seems. You have major corporations going before Congress to beg for money, like beggars on the street would sit and beg for dimes and nickels. And Congress doesn't have the answer. There's not enough money in the world to solve the problems that America's facing right now. And everybody, I don't care what level of living or what level of income you're at, everybody has felt the crunch of what's going on right now economically in the United States of America. However, I believe that the Lord has shown me in this coming year to the child of God who puts and keeps his faith in Jesus Christ that he is going to preserve them, he's going to protect them, and he's going to sustain them by his power and by his might. And when you look in the book of Exodus, you see Israel enslaved in Egyptian bondage with seemingly no hope and no power and no strength to extricate themselves from the might of Egypt. But God raises up a deliverer in Moses. And Moses begins to go before Pharaoh. And he tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh continually tells him, "I won't do it." And what you're seeing there really in typology is a picture of Satan who has a human being or humanity enslaved in his grasp. And he doesn't want to let go. And he never lets go easy. But as Moses perpetually went before Pharaoh, finally Moses said, "Plagues are going to come upon this nation if you don't let the children of Israel go." Pharaoh kept refusing. And then the plagues began to fall upon Egypt that brought the mightiest nation on earth to its knees with each and every one of those plagues aimed at a false Egyptian deity. I don't want to take too much time to preach that today, but it's beautiful to study. They worshipped Hika, the frog god. Hence, one of the plagues was God allowed frogs to cover the land. And so on was the example with every plague. In some way, they were aimed at an Egyptian false deity. But here's the beauty in all of those plagues. There was a place called Goshen where the children of Israel dwelt. And not one of those plagues touched the children of Israel. Now think of that. What's that got to do with you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? The Bible says our lives are hidden in Jesus Christ. That means if he's going to execute judgment upon the United States of America, as I personally believe he is currently doing, you and I are in Christ. We're in Goshen. Hallelujah. We're under the protection of the Lord. And it is altogether possible, and the Bible proves this out in the story I've related to you, for God to send his judgment, heavily so, down upon a people or a nation, at the same time protecting and preserving his very own in the midst of a horrific circumstance. And I believe in the coming year, that's exactly, and in the coming years, That's exactly what we're going to see happen to the true believers in Jesus Christ, to those who have their faith anchored in Jesus. Their faith is not tied to a church. Their faith is not tied to a minister or to a program. Their faith is tied exclusively to Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And that's what my definition of a true believer. And any true believer who has their faith anchored in Jesus, when these time comes, you're in Christ. You're in Goshen. It's not going to come near your house. God is going to preserve you, to protect you, to sustain you by his supernatural power. You can rest in Jesus Christ and know that he is able to care for his own no matter what is going on all around us. It gives me great joy this morning to know that my life and my finances are not tied to Wall Street. My hope and my future is tied to none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And I know that he is able, as Paul said so many thousands of years ago, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able to preserve you when Wall Street crumbles. When there's no food on the store shelves, he can get you food. When there's not a bank that has a dime one in it and every corporation in the world running before Congress to ask for money and Congress don't have any money to give out anymore. Jesus Christ can get you the money that you need because he is Lord. He is the King of Kings. He has all power. He has all authority and he will care for his own. Somebody give him a hand. Of praise this morning. Hallelujah. So knowing the character of Jesus Christ and his unfailing promises to you and I as his children, we have a choice to make. We can choose to be fearful. We can choose to place our focus and attention on all that's going wrong in the world and how that's going to affect us. Or we can make a choice to believe Jesus Christ and to believe that he is able to keep us, to believe that he is able to sustain us no matter what we see going on in the world. That's why I titled this message, Faith Choices. Faith is always a choice. In my preaching and in my, I shouldn't say my theology, in I believe the theology of the Bible, there is a great deal of emphasis placed upon focusing on Jesus, as it must be. But there is a significant part. It's a small part, but a very significant part that humanity plays in making a faith choice. We're free moral agents. God is not going to make you choose his way. He will not force you to do so. Therefore, we humans as free moral agents, God sets before us choices. He's given us his revealed word to prove to us that he is able to do all things. He then leaves it and puts the ball in our court, so to speak. Are we going to choose to believe him? Are we going to choose to trust him? Or are we going to make a choice to be fearful and to look at what's going on in the world? What I'm putting out this morning, I believe, is going to be the strength of believers in these last days. And that we're going to have to make a faith choice. A faith choice says, the world is crumbling. But the world is in the hand of the one who went to the cross for me. Therefore, I'm going to make a choice to trust him, to provide for me and my family. I tell you, it's scary. Now, can I just be frank with you for just a minute? And I'm going to step down off I've never tried to put myself on a pedestal, but I'm going to just step down for a minute and get real. Faith is a scary thing. Anybody who tells you it isn't don't know what they're talking about. Because when God calls you to live by faith, it's going to be one of the scariest things you've ever went through before. It's going to shake you to your very core. It's not this glorious, grandiose, pie-in-the-sky experience we think it ought to be when God begins to build faith and begins to teach us to choose faith in him. Chaos breaks out. Chaos breaks out. Even when we're doing something that he's told us to do. Now, that don't make a bit of sense either, does it? That's why this morning I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to see in this story. It perfectly illustrates the premise of making a faith choice. The great prophet Elijah has gone before King Ahab and told him, it's not going to rain except at my word. In other words, this is what the Lord has given to me, and there's going to be drought until I say different. Now, Ahab hated Elijah anyway. If you study your Bible and other passages, you'll see that Ahab had a great disdain for the prophet Elijah, because every time Elijah showed up, he had nothing but bad news for Ahab. Really. Because when a real prophet of God showed up in the Old Testament, more often times than not, it meant bad news. It wasn't pillow talk. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't you're going to get rich, you're going to get blessed. When a real prophet showed up, it usually meant trouble. And Ahab knew this. And he had a great disdain anyway for the prophet Elijah. And Elijah, as his custom is, walks in and tells Ahab, one of the mightiest men in the world, it's not going to rain except at my word. Now think of that. And immediately, we think, I want you to get this picture in your mind as if, say Paul here, God called him to walk before Barack Obama tomorrow and say, Wall Street will fail continually except at my word. Wow. I'm trying to put it in the modern vernacular for you to show you, give you a clear sense of what's transpiring here. And as Elijah uttered these words, Ahab becomes angry and wants to kill him. And the Lord knows this. And Elijah, acting in obedience, perfect obedience to what God's told him to do, the very next thing that happens is he has to flee out into the wilderness and flee from everything that's near and dear to him. And what did he do? No crime. He obeyed God. He did what the Lord told him to do. Now, hold on with me through this as I lay this foundation. Initially, when the Lord is going to build faith in you, that's exactly how it's going to happen. It's taken me a while. I'm a slow learner. I'm a hard study, but it's taken me a while to learn this, that when God really wants to build faith in you and teach you to trust Him, He's going to take you through the most chaotic, through the most confusing situation you've ever been in your life before. And more than likely, what's caused the situation is your obedience to Him. Now, wow, that plays with our sensibilities as humans, doesn't it? Because really, most of what we've been taught and preached to over the last 20, 30 years has been just obey God and everything's going to be all right in your life. Obey God, you'll get rich, you'll be healthy, you'll have friends and influence, powerful people will love you. Isn't that most of what we've heard over the last 20, 30 years? Only problem with that is it's simply not true. When you obey God and you set your heart to obey God, God is going to test that faith. Not because He needs to know. God wants to build faith in you. God wants to teach you to choose faith in Him and prove to you how He can sustain you in any situation that He calls you to go through if you'll but choose by faith to believe and trust Him. And Elijah did just that. He gets cast away into the wilderness for obeying and doing what God told him to do. Now, I can just imagine Elijah, because the Bible says he was a man of like passions as all of us were, as all these Bible characters were. They're just like you and I. I can just imagine. Now, I'm a preacher, and those others of you here, the minister, Paul and Chris and Mahari, he's not here today with us. But, man, you get a word from the Lord, it's the most exciting thing in the world, ain't it, Paul? Woohoo! I've heard from God. I can't wait to go tell. And I'm quite positive that that's the same thing that happened to Elijah here. Man, I have heard from God, and He wants me to go talk to... I'm sure Elijah didn't care at all for Ahab's evil ways. And he thought, man, I've heard from God, and I'm going to obey God. He's told me to march in, square my shoulders before this king, and tell him it's not going to rain except at my word. And I just know it. I know it. I know human nature. Elijah's a great man of God. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but he's also a human. And I can just see him as he walks in, and Ahab, after he delivers this word to Ahab, now Ahab wants to kill him. And he's having to run for his life. There's when the reality starts setting in. That sometimes obeying God and doing what God calls you to do is not always going to initially be the Sunday walk in the park that we think it ought to be. But it's going to be through that, that God's going to take us and teach us that He and He alone is able to preserve us and to protect us and to sustain us when we obey Him. It will not be through any of our own intellect, through any of our own personal prowess, but when He's done with us, He's going to teach us that making the choice to believe Him will always be the greatest choice, will always be the right choice, will always ultimately bring blessing if we follow Him and obey His word. So here's Elijah now. After getting this great word from the Lord, he's now running for his life. And the Lord tells him in verse 2, get thee hence and turn, or verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, wow, I can just hear Elijah questioning the Lord on this in his mind. Lord, I did what you told me to do. Why are you sending me into hiding now? Why am I having to run for my life? I thought I'd walk in before Ahab, deliver this word. An aura would come down around me. And when he tried to kill me, the swords and spears would just bounce off. And it'd be a glorious time. Now, come on, get real with me for a minute. Ain't that the way we think as humans? And what happens? He has to run to a cave, basically, to hide for his life for obeying the word of the Lord. Because the Lord is going to teach all of his children that choosing faith and choosing to obey Him will always ultimately bring blessing. That He alone is able to sustain. He wants us, oh, I feel this in my heart and spirit today. The Lord wants us to know that He alone is able. He does not want us looking to anything, anything at all that man can provide. He wants us looking exclusively unto Him for everything we get. Everything, not just some things. Everything. He wants us to know, I am the source of all blessing. I am the source of all good. I am the source of all sustenance. And when we dwell in the shadow of the cross, we are in fellowship with Almighty God. We are obeying Almighty God. But that does not mean at times, like the prophet Elijah, he's not going to set us aside for that obedience to teach us faith. And now, as he's hiding by the brook Cherith. Cherith means cutting. Cutting. When God calls us aside, one of the first things he's going to do is he's going to cut away some of our flesh. He's going to cut out something in our life that he does not want to be there. Let me tell you something. When the great, look at it this way. No artist has ever chiseled out a statue without a hammer and a chisel. It's a violent action to take a ugly piece of granite or marble and then begin to chisel away at it and to turn it into a thing of beauty. It's a violent action. But so it is when the Lord goes to work on our lives. Sometimes those of us He loves the most, those of us He has the greatest plans for, those of us He wants to use the most mightily are going to be those who are treated the roughest. Now think of that. Now, I know it's not. I know nobody's shouting with me this morning, but you're going to here in a minute. You're going to here in a minute, trust me. But that's what's going on. I believe that's what's going on in America right now. I believe that's what's going on in a lot of individual lives in this church right now. The cutting is going on, and it's never nonviolent. It's never without pain. But God is saying, as the cutting is going on, I'm with you. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. And I am going to prove to you, as you hold to me, that I am enough. I am enough to meet your every need. I am enough to heal your hurts. I'm enough to deliver you. I'm enough to hold you while the world is crumbling around you. I can hold you up and bless you in the middle of it all. That's what I want you to see, my child. That's what he wanted Elijah to see, as great a prophet of God as he was. And then, as if hiding by this brook near a cave was not bad enough for obeying the word of God, he sends ravens with pieces of meat to feed him. Now, you've got to understand Elijah. He's Jewish. He's not supposed to eat anything touched by an unclean animal. A raven was an unclean animal. And this is the venue that God has chosen to sustain him. Wow. Wow. You may not always like the method that God chooses to sustain you and to teach you faith, but it's always going to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life, whatever he chooses. And every morning and every night, these ravens come, and there's fresh meat there for Elijah. Now, that's tough to live that way. That's scary to live that way. When God calls you to live like that, when he's given you just enough every day of your life to get by on, whether it be financially, spiritually, or emotionally, that is very difficult and scary to live that way. But just like, so this is for somebody this morning, maybe all of us, just like the manna in Israel, it was there every morning, and it was just enough to get them through that day. I was talking with somebody the other day. I'm so sick of hearing preachers preach about, oh, the great transfer of wealth that's coming, and oh, the great prosperity that's coming. I'm going to tell you something that's biblically true, and it, again, may not make anybody shout, but it's the truth. There's going to be areas of your life, not in every area, but areas of all of our lives, where God is always going to give us just enough to get by in that area. I'm sorry. I don't apologize for it. That's going to be the way it's going to be. And with some it'll be financially. With some it will be an emotional experience. With some it'll be spiritually. Where he knows as he works on your life, he's going to give you just enough to get you through wherever he's called you to be at. So hallelujah. Choose faith today is the message of the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting by Kareth for obeying God and you feel like you're in a cave, and you're like, Lord, I've done everything right. I've done what that crazy Pastor Browning has told me to do. I've kept my faith in the cross. Why am I in so much trouble? Why does everything seem to be so chaotic? It's because everything is all right. You're where God wants you to be. Just choose faith. Make the choice today that I'm going to say he is able, he is in control, he's guiding every area of my life, and if I'm sitting by a cave this morning and he's sending ravens to feed me and I'm getting just enough to get me through every day, that's where he wants me, because he is my God, he loves me, he's promised to sustain me, he's promised to preserve me, he's promised to protect me, and I am going to choose to lift up my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, that I can trust you. Somebody give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Now he's sitting by the brook Kareth. Lord says, you drink from that. I'm going to send the ravens every morning, every evening to feed you. And if all that wasn't bad enough, all of a sudden one day, Elijah wakes up. And guess what? The very command that he has spoken is about to cause him more trouble. When he went before Ahab and told him, it's not going to rain except at my word. This brook Kareth that he's been sitting by, that he's been drinking from, guess what? Because there's been no rain, it starts to dry up. Things get worse, not better. Things seemingly get worse, not better. And he's saying, Elijah, trust me. He's saying to you and I, trust me. When the brook's drying up, trust me. I've got a myriad of ways I can sustain you, that I can hold you up. Oh, glory to God. Now, church, this is going to be living in the last days before Christ's return. What I'm preaching today is going to be how believers are going to be called upon to live in the last days. Get ready. Get ready. It's coming. I'm positive of it. And you've got to make a faith choice. You've got to make that faith choice if you're going to survive. If you're going to stay in fellowship with God, it's going to have to be a faith choice that says no matter where he's got me and no matter how difficult it looks, he is my God. I trust him. And I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose of my own volition to both trust in his character, to trust in his word. And even though I'm getting just enough to get by right now in whatever area it may be, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to make a faith choice that says his word has never failed. He has never turned his back on one of his children. And he is able to get me everything I need. It may not even be in the way I like it. It may not be in the way I would have personally chosen for it to come. But he's going to get it to me one way or another. And the brook starts drying up. And bear in mind, again, this is with the command of Elijah. This is the word from the Lord he spoke has caused him greater consternation and greater difficulty now as this brook dries up. But here's what I want you to see as we begin to close. And we went to Kareth first, we went to Ahab first, then we went to Kareth, then we went to the ravens, and now Kareth is drying up. But in every instance, the Bible tells us one thing, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this, child of God, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your consternation, is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to you? Guess what? If he is, that means he knows right where you're at. He's in control of where you're at, and he's going to sustain you right where you're at because you're getting the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're getting the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord is coming to you, that has tremendous ramifications and implications. It means, first of all, you belong to him. Hallelujah. It means you're in fellowship with him. It means you're in his will. Hallelujah. That should cause a surge of confidence in your spirit to know I'm going to choose faith because he's going to get me through this. It may not be in the way I like. It may not be in the manner I would have chosen. But my God is not going to fail me. I'm going to choose faith. And then he tells Elijah, the Lord knows the brook is drying up. He said, Elijah, get up. Go to Zarephath. Because I've already spoken to a widow there to sustain you. Now, man, that would be hard. Human ego being what it is. Elijah being the great prophet of God. He's the premier prophet in Israel at this time. And the Lord's, for obeying the Lord, the Lord's kept him dwelling by a cave, drinking from a stream, being fed by ravens, and now the stream dries up. And he tells this man, who's the premier prophet in all of Israel, now I'm going to send you to a widow to take care of you. Wow. And that happens. But when he goes to that widow's house, great miracles take place. She says she's ready to bake a cake for her and her son, and then they're going to die. He says, you make me one first. And he said, the cruse will not fail. And the barrel will not ever go empty. And God used him to bless somebody else because he brought that woman the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Choose faith today. Choose faith. Choose faith in the God who loves you. And the God, if he's speaking to you in the midst of your situation, he's letting you know he's fully aware of it. He's wanting you to be cognizant of the fact that he can be trusted. And you may see, I don't know what stage you may be at. You may have just arrived at Careth, and you're getting, spiritually speaking, you're getting just your day-by-day sustenance. And that's all. Maybe you're at a point where even that which God has chosen, you didn't care a lot for, but that which He's been using to provide for you, now you're starting to see that dry up, and you're worried. Here's the whole message. The word of the Lord will come again if you'll choose faith. If you'll choose faith, He'll not quit speaking to you. He'll direct your path. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As long as you choose faith, I don't know when and I don't know how, but as an act of your own volition, if you choose faith, He's going to speak to you again. And He'll show you exactly where to go and what to do. And where He shows you to go and what He shows you to do will not only bring blessing to you and provide for your need, it's going to bring blessing to somebody else. That's how God operates. He never operates with just one person in mind. When He blesses an individual in any capacity, in any way, He's got it in mind for that blessing to be turned out and to bless a multitude of others. Glory to God. Choose faith. Choose faith. Choose faith today. No matter what your state, no matter what your circumstance, choose faith. Choose faith. And that faith must have an object. You know that. I didn't feel the need to press down on that too hard with this congregation. But the object of that faith is always Christ and Him crucified. And if you make that choice, you have the blessed assurance of knowing your God will never, never fail you. He may not do it the way we would personally choose to have it done, but He will do it. He will do it if you'll make the faith choice. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask everyone who will this morning, would you come present yourself down at the altar? Lord, as we're coming, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for faith, fresh faith like a river to flow all through this altar. Lord, some need faith for a family situation. Some need faith for finances. Some need faith for emotional difficulties. Some need faith for a spiritual problem they're facing. But Lord, this morning around this altar, our portion and our part, our end of it, so to speak, is that we make the faith choice that we're going to believe You. That we're going to believe You. And deliverance will come in the spiritual battle. Victory will come in the financial realm. The familial problem will be solved. And Father, it may not be in a way that we would personally choose to have it done, but You will do it. You will do it. The word of the Lord will come, and You will give instruction. You will give insight. Now this morning, as we stand around this altar, here's what I feel the Holy Spirit would have us to do. In every one of our lives, as we're God's children, He's working on us in some fashion. We're in a Careth situation. The Lord's been providing. He's been taking care. Yeah, maybe we think it could have been better, or it could have been more comfortable. But He's been providing. He's been caring. But now maybe the Careth is starting to dry up. And fear is creeping in. God's calling you to make a faith choice. He's calling you to make a faith choice right now. To where in your heart and your spirit, you just let Him know, Lord, what You've been using to provide for me in this area, it appears to be drying up, but I'm going to make a faith choice this morning. I'm going to ask You to speak to me. And he will not withhold from you. I feel this so strongly this morning as we're around this altar. He will not withhold from you that which you need. He loves you. But he's building faith in you. He's building trust in us. But as an act of our volition this morning, let's make a faith choice. Let's make a faith choice. Careth may be drying up, but he'll not have you go without water. Hallelujah. He'll speak to you, and he'll show you what to do next. And what he tells you to do next, I wish I could stand here and tell you. It'd be something that'd make you want to shout and dance. It may not be so. But what he tells you to do will be your answer and his will for your life. I'm sure this premier prophet in Israel, Elijah, was accustomed to having respect, having his needs met in the most luxurious of fashions. And now he's on the run for obeying the word of God. And everything that's dear to him has been stripped away. And he's been having to live day to day trusting God, having just enough. And when what the Lord has been providing starts to dry up, he tells him, now you go to a widow woman. That had to be a hard pill to swallow, but you know what? He obeyed the word of the Lord. There's the key right there. When he speaks to you, obey. Obey. And Elijah obeyed. And ultimately blessing came. Great blessing. Great miracles came. Make a faith choice today. Make a faith choice today. Right where you stand. Praise your holy name this morning, Lord Jesus. Ravonna, would you come here for just a minute? Thank you, Lord. I want you to lay hands on Connie here. Deb, would you turn around and lay hands on Connie too? Julie, you too. I want to pray for Connie this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my sister today, Lord Jesus. The enemy's been trying to put such a heavy load of fear on her. And in the name of Jesus today, we trust you, Lord, and we make a choice to believe you. Let your healing virtue fall all over Connie, Lord, in every way she needs. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let her miracle be manifested today. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Paul and Ned and some of you gentlemen, come over here. I want you to pray with Andy for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, my dear brother needs you to open a door for him to where he can serve you in a greater way, as I know he wants to do. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you're going to bless him today with what he's seeking you for. We put our faith together and ask you, we make a faith choice today, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the provision that's been there. But Lord, now we're asking for a change. We humbly ask and provide Andy, Lord, with a regular schedule and a promotion on his job. I ask in the name of Jesus. Work it out for him, Lord, so that he could serve you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chris, would you come here? I want to pray for you and your family this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody who will to gather around Chris. His family has been under such a horrendous attack over the last 2 months, with sickness after sickness and illness after illness. And I know why it's been coming. This lovely family's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross. And they want to serve him. And Satan's going to fight. And God's allowed everything that's happened, Chris. But we as your church family, and I believe the Holy Spirit's asking you this morning, make a faith choice. God's in control. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come today. And Lord, I know you've been using the circumstances and situations to build faith and trust. But Lord, I feel it's your divine will today. I feel I've received a revelation from you to pray that this plague be halted. And it's your time to raise up a standard against it. It's your will, Lord, not mine. It's your will, I believe, that's been revealed today. And in the mighty name of Jesus, for Trey, Sierra, Cade, and Jessica, and Chris, in the name of Jesus, let every sickness be cleared up and raise up a standard that no other maladies or illnesses would come nigh them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We believe you today, Lord. We believe you for Jessica's body to be healed completely. We believe you, Lord, to touch little Cade's ears. We believe you to touch Trey, Lord, so that tubes won't have to be placed in his ears. And keep your hand upon little Sierra, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless Chris. How we thank you for his life, his ministry. Keep your hand on him in Jesus' name. And let the plague of sickness be stayed from this day forward. And let divine health flow into this family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Linda, can we pray for you? Some of you ladies gather around her. Your victory's in him, Linda. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, we make a faith choice. That, Lord, our victory is in you. Overcoming power is in you. And in the name of Jesus, heal Linda in every way she would need today, Father. And give her sweet, sweet victory that you've already won for her on the cross of Calvary. Bless her today, Father. Let her be plagued or troubled no more after today. We claim the victory of Jesus Christ in her life. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask others of you, everyone who's around the altar, in submission to Jesus right now. And I want to pray, Deb, where are you at? I want to pray for Kelly this morning. Little blonde girl who's such a beautiful spirit has been coming with Ned and Deb, and we just need to pray for her this morning. Come here, Deb. You ladies, lay hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you today to minister unto Kelly, Lord, to uphold her and her mother, Mindy, Lord. Minister your grace to them. Minister, Lord, your healing in every area of their lives. We pray today in the name of Jesus. Let them palpably feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God enveloping them right now. And let her know that they are loved by this church family and, more importantly, by Jesus Christ himself. Move powerfully in their lives, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, everyone else, would you lift your hands? And I know I could have probably prayed for everybody here today. But if you've made the faith choice today, the Holy Spirit wants you to know you will not be disappointed. He will come through for you. Father, in the name of Jesus today, we lift our hands in praise and submission to you. And we confess the word of God that says our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. It may not be in the manner that we would have it done in, but you will do it. You will provide. You will sustain. You will give victory. And Lord, in every life and in every area it's needed today, we ask in the name of Jesus for the ministering power of the Holy Spirit to go deep in us. And Lord, to show us that no matter what our situation, as long as we're still hearing the word of the Lord, everything's going to be all right. We choose faith today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, please remember that on the 21st, we're going to be having some type of function right after church. I don't know exactly what it's going to be yet, but we'll be doing something together as a church family. And Cora, I want to pray for you before we're dismissed. I just felt the Holy Spirit quicken me, lay hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And I ask for divine healing to go forth from Jesus Christ as we spiritually touch the hem of his royal garment today by faith. Heal her body in every capacity. I ask in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, we'll be having back in our study of Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 15 this week. And chapter 15 is really the great unveiling, very specifically, of the great Abrahamic covenant. And you may think, well, what does that have to do with me? It has great effect on you right to this minute, because that covenant is still in effect. And by faith, we're made sons and daughters of Abraham. So come out and study it with us. You'll be blessed. Paul, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer. And you all have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Just try to stay warm and safe. And God bless you.